Today, my situation is like Prophet Jeremiah. People will, think of stoning maybe the way Jeremiah had to face. But anyway, today's topic is very interesting and very relevant. You must have heard this very famous phrase or verse, so to say, give to Caesar what belongs to Caesar and give to God what belongs to God. But I want to briefly read this para so that we exactly understand in its proper context, so that it is more clear what exactly the Pharisees want to do and what exactly Jesus wants to emphasize. So let us read Mark chapter 12, verses 13 to 17. Then they sent to him some Pharisees and some Herodians to trap him in what he said. And they came and said to him, "Teacher, we know that you are sincere and show deference to no one, for you do not regard people with partiality, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful to pay taxes to emperor or not? Should we pay them or should we not?" But knowing their hypocrisy, he said to them, "Why are you putting me to the test? Bring me a denarius and let me see it." And they brought one. Then he said to them, "Whose head is this and whose title?" They answered, "The emperor's." Jesus said to them, "Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were utterly amazed at him. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. When we hear this passage, we immediately sometimes think that in God's kingdom, business is separate, religion is separate. Or many people interpret this passage as Jesus wants politics and religion to be separate, or material world and spiritual world to be separate, or earthly kingdom and heavenly kingdom to be separate. But it is not. Now let us see how beautifully Jesus brings out his kingdom value in this passage. But before that, I want to bring to you this entire context in which this passage is narrated. As I told you, we are in chapter 12 of Mark. Chapter 11 of Mark, 1 to 10 verses, Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. And once he enters, he goes to the temple for preaching. He sees all types of trade there, maybe taxes and coins and everything. And he overturns their tables and chases them out and starts teaching. And the word of God says in earlier chapter that they were spellbound at his teaching. And now, these chief priests, Pharisees, and elders are disturbed to the core, because their authority is at stake, their power is at stake, and their very name and fame is at stake. And so, they come to him with a question. In this earlier, in chapter 11, verses 27 onwards, that is, the baptism of John is from heaven or of earthly origin, to trap him. And Jesus knows that they are hypocrites. So he says, "Let me ask you one question. When you are questioning me, this authority from where I have got," he is asking them this question, which I told you. Is the baptism of John is from heaven or of human origin? Now they discuss among themselves and they say, if we tell it is from heaven, then he will say, why didn't you go for the baptism? Why didn't you not believe in John the Baptist? And if you say it is of earthly origin, then John had huge followers, even maybe more than Jesus at that time. And they would definitely hate these people of Pharisees and the scribes. So they say, we can't answer, we don't know. And Jesus says, I too can't tell you in what authority I am teaching. Now come to this chapter 12, where 1 to 12, Jesus tells them a parable about the parable of wicked tenants, where he actually refers to the Jews as wicked tenants of the vineyard of the Lord, which is Israel. And they fully realize that this parable was for them, and they get all the more angry and confused how to trap him. And so now, the para which I read is the trap number 3. Now they are sending Pharisees and Herodians. Pharisees were part of the Sanhedrin, the highest Jewish religious authority. But Herodians were actually against Pharisees because they were supporting Herod, the king. Whereas Pharisees were not supporting the Romans or Herod because their religion would be jeopardized. But they had a common enemy in Jesus. So when enemies have a common enemy, they become friends. And so they are here coming to Jesus. And first they tell him, Jesus, you are sincere, impartial, and truthful. So please tell us, is it right to give taxes to Caesar or emperor or not? And now Jesus, as divine he is, straight away says, you hypocrites, why do you test me? Now, Jesus doesn't go further much, and he asks them for a coin, denarius, and they give him. And he asks them, whose title or image is this? And they are saying it is emperor's. That time it was Tiberius Caesar, son of Augustus. So the inscription on the coin, on the denarius, is Tiberius Caesar, son of divine Augustus. And on the other side, the inscription is the chief priest. So for them, that means for the Romans and for this occupied Israelite territory, the emperor was supposed to be the supreme king and supreme God as well. Can you see his position? And now Jesus is here in that catch 22 situation, so to say. And he gives them this beautiful reply. Give to emperor what belongs to emperor, and give to God what belongs to God. And they were perplexed or amazed at this reply once again. In the earlier chapter, they were spellbound. Now, immediately we sometimes think that means what is connected with civil compliance, that is taxes or other matters concerning the government, the business, is one part. And what is concerning our spirituality, religion, is the other part. But Jesus, when he gives them this reply, he tells them categorically that everything comes under the authority of God. By saying that, if Caesar is your authority, he has been put there by God, so he is under God. So whatever due to God, give to God, and whatever due to Caesar, give to Caesar. But now let me explain to you the practical implications and what are the reasons for such entire episode here. And I want to give you this acronym, because so that you can remember Because Derek, I heard Derek saying in the beginning of the prayer meeting, please keep your notepads and pen. I always tell that, please keep these three C's in mind, because when you write, it gives you concentration, it gives you clarity, and it gives you commitment. Once you write, maybe tomorrow morning at your study time or prayer time, you'll see it once again, so that at least 20% of it will remain in your head. So now coming back, let me give you this acronym. These taxes or this levies come under a broad category called as duties. D-U-T-I-E-S, duties. Because at that time, now what here the Pharisees were asking Jesus was, this was called the census tax or the poll tax. But there were two more other taxes as well. One is the temple tax. If you see in Luke 17, chapter 24 onwards, when the temple authorities ask Peter, doesn't your teacher pay tax? What Jesus does? Jesus tells Peter to put a hook in the sea, and the first fish you get in that mouth, that coin comes, he says, that you give to the temple as a tax for me and you. So Jesus there also shows his submission to the authorities. And here also, he tells them to be submissive to emperor. Now let me come back to this acronym duties. D. D stands for divine kingdom. If you see, Jesus here is in this, so to say, Holy Week, the last seven very intense days. I told you in the beginning, chapter 11 is entry into Jerusalem. Then now this second day, first day he cleansed the temple. And the second day now they have come to confront him. Of course, the third day again, if you see the following verses, from 18 onwards, the Sadducees come and ask about resurrection. And Jesus there also gives a beautiful example. Don't you know that Yahweh or God is the Son of the living? At the bush, Yahweh told Moses that I am the God of Isaac, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So, here Jesus' focus is totally on the kingdom of God and kingdom values, which will ultimately culminate into our eternal life. So his focus is something beyond our worldly small adherences and compliances. So there should not be any dichotomy or compartmentalization in our lives. For us, spirituality should not be that at home something, in the church something, in my ministry something, at my workplace something. I can't compartmentalize my spirituality. It has to be one and all. My entire personality has to be my way of life, has to be my spirituality. And that is why Jesus told Andrew in the beginning, John 1, chapter 1, verse, I think, 28 and 29. Where do you stay, Rabbi? And Jesus says, come and see. Why he said come and see? Because that he let him see the personality of Jesus, how he stays, how he relates, how he conducts his affairs or himself. So I and you also should be able to tell people that come and see, or let us go and see Jesus. Because then Andrew left, one day he stayed with Jesus, and the entire life then thereon he stayed with him. So I cannot have a dichotomy. Similarly, nowadays we don't go to church because of certain restrictions, but when we come back from the church, actually the Eucharist begins. But is it so in reality in our lives? Because Jesus is saying, by serving the emperors in a civil way, you are serving the God, mighty God. So there should not be any dichotomy. It is God's kingdom everywhere. So everything is encompassed into God's kingdom. And so whatever we do, be it payment of taxes, be it our work, be it our life, it is everything for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Then this takes me to the second letter, which is U, which is a little, surprising letter, because U for me stands for unconditional submission. Why I'm saying this is, many times we, of course, those who are employed, who are salaried people, I believe, if in my experience, they pay all taxes, due taxes mostly, because tax is deducted at source. They don't have much other income to pay tax, so they pay tax. But so far as business category or professionals like us are concerned, we many times say that what the government is doing for us, not even giving us basic amenities, see our roads or see other facilities, we don't have anything, and we try to compare with foreign countries and our country. But Jesus never told them there that if the emperor does a good job, give his taxes. In fact, that emperor was doing a horrible job because he had taken over Israel by force, illegal occupation, and not doing much. But still Jesus tells, what is due to him, give him unconditionally. That is why St. Paul says beautifully in chapter 13 of Romans 1, every authority, that is government authority, has been instituted by God, and we need to be submissive, otherwise we are liable for judgment. And beautifully later on he says in verse 6 and 7, therefore pay what is due. If taxes are due, pay taxes. If revenue is due, pay revenue. If respect is due, pay respect. And if honor is due, pay honor. These are the words there, verse 6 and 7. He beautifully says. So what Jesus is telling us is, this submission cannot be conditional. Suppose today also, we also feel that government is not doing much, and why we have to pay so much? Taxes are quite heavy. So I have one suggestion, so to say, for those who are self-employed or their own business. See, Jesus has spoken a lot about finance and money and positions. And in one place, which is Luke chapter 14, verses 28 and 29, Jesus says, if you sit to build a tower, or you are planning a tower, to construct a tower, you will first sit down and estimate the cost, and accordingly you will build. Otherwise, what will happen? If you don't have estimation, if you don't have projection, then you will lay the foundation, you are not able to complete, and the people will laugh at you. What Jesus is saying there is, you need to plan, you need to budget. So for self-employed, now if I ask employed, I can say Eleanor, of course, now she is not employed. Her take-home salary means already tax is deducted, all deductions are made. What she gets is she has to enjoy. But for me, take-home income is whatever I earn. So there I need to deduct my taxes. So from where I will deduct? So I need to plan at the beginning of the year, if this is my income, I need to pay this much tax as and when I earn. That is why there is advance tax installments, 4 of them. Of course, first one this year is now 15th of June. So I need to plan and program and budget and my cash flows in such a way that my taxes are already deducted from my income, and rest only I can use for my needs. So it is very important that unconditional submission, and whatever is due to the government, I need to give to the government, not questioning what government is doing. But government is doing many things. For example, now government is paying to so all those people who are marginalized, poor, they are putting some money at least in their accounts. Now that goes from what I and you pay to the government. Government doesn't keep on minting money. Government collects from maybe GST, income tax, customs, and everything, and pays. So when government pays them, indirectly, I and you are also paying towards the poor citizens, poor brothers and sisters of mine. So when I pay what is due to the emperor or government, I am following the commandment of the Lord. This takes me to T. T for truth versus hypocrisy. Now there they asked a beautiful question, the Pharisees and Herodians, but with a vested interest. They wanted to trap Jesus. They wanted to finish him. And Jesus realizes their hypocrisy. They tell Jesus, "You are master, you are truthful, you are sincere, you are impartial," which he is rightly so. But nowadays, we are into this mask culture in this pandemic. It is good for our protection physically, yes. So we need to be very careful. Even Jesus, if you see Matthew chapter 23, he tells the Pharisees and scribes, "You hypocrites, you are whitewashed tombs, blind guides," because their hearts were away from what they were doing. They were doing one thing and their hearts were somewhere else. So many times, even so far as our civil obedience is concerned, outwardly we show that we have obeyed, we have done what is required of us. But sometimes it is a different story altogether. So let us be truthful. Even in paying our taxes, obeying authorities. Authorities need not be only government. To begin with, in my home, who is the authority? Now, in my home, as the head of the family, I am the authority. Even Mabel earns more than me, she has to be submissive to me. So, because now we are husband and wife, both are earning equal, I understand, but there has to be authority. Similarly, in the ministry, in the church, we have to be submissive to the authority. So truthfully, we need to submit. This takes me to the next letter, that is I. I for image. On the denarius coin, there was an image of emperor. That is why he was the owner of that coin or of that country. So they belong to him. So we have the image of God. Genesis 1:27, we are made in the image and likeness of God. God is our owner. So we need to obey him above all. Everything belongs to him. Psalm 24:1 says, "The earth and all in it, and the world and all live in it belong to God." So even though there is image of Tiberius Caesar, he himself is under the ownership of God, because that authority is also instituted by God as per Romans 13:1. So we are only the custodians or caretakers of our possessions. God is the owner. God is the giver. He is the owner. Even if I have sweated my intelligence, but it is because of God's gift and his talents he has given me. So ultimately, ownership and authority belongs to God. When I have this perspective of I being only caretaker or custodian with God as the owner, this perspective will take me to the next letter, which is E, which is eternal perspective. When I have the eternal perspective in my mind, then I will work in this life towards attaining that eternity. If you see Jesus, he was really bombarded in this 1 week, that Holy Week, what we say. He was confronted left and right. They wanted to finish him off. But word of God says in Luke chapter 9, 51 and 53, that he set his face on Jerusalem like a flint. Means his focus was on the complete final plan and mission of God, that is to offer his life for the humanity and gain eternity for humanity. Many times we maybe not paying proper taxes and amazing and accumulating so many things as if for eternity we are here on earth. That is why Psalmist says very beautifully that make me always to remind my life here, my years, remaining years on this earth, so that I will gain wisdom. So Jesus' answer was keeping in mind kingdom of God and eternity. So if I have this eternal life is also explained in John chapter 17:3, that eternal life is knowing God and his son to him whom he has sent. So eternal life is not only afterlife, it begins right from here. It right from here. Kingdom of God is not later on somewhere up there. That is why Jesus says kingdom of God is amongst you and within you. So when I have this eternal perspective, where I know that my ultimate mission and goal is to be with Jesus forever, then all this paying of taxes, civil obedience, paying whatever dues, maybe even for us, those who are staying here in Bombay under BMC rule, property taxes, whatever we pay, revenue, whatever we pay, that we'll pay properly because we want to be obedient to Jesus so that we will have that eternal life. That takes me to the last letter, S. And this S is towards spirit-led life. By ourselves, it is very difficult. I would say rather impossible. But with God, everything is possible. So if I'm spirit-led, and to be spirit-led, let us ask ourselves, how does my day begin? Do I invite the Spirit to direct my day, to lead me during the day, to anoint me with this wisdom? Because Jesus used this wisdom here. When he gave that answer, it was pure wisdom of the Holy Spirit. How is my life? Is it spirit-led? If it is spirit-led, then only I will be able to honor what Jesus is saying. And having said that, now let me also, this particular topic, even though we see only as civil obedience and taxes, but when I was reflecting this motive or what your formula of Jesus the Real One, the power is embedded in this very small para. I go from the end. R is reaching out. Jesus is saying, give to God what is God's. Matthew 25:40. Jesus says, whatever you do to the least of my brothers and sisters, you do it unto me. Second Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. God loves a cheerful giver. Acts 20:35. It is blessed to give than to receive. So R of this power, R reaching out, which the charitable wing of Jesus the Real One, the Premanand Public Charitable Trust, that are reaching out. And before that is E, evangelizing. When I lead such life, which is my conduct in spirituality, there are three C's: creed, cult, and conduct. Creed is what I proclaim, I believe. Cult is my worship, maybe public worship in the church or my worship at home. But conduct is very important. My very life, my affairs in life. And that is why Jesus said that the ultimate criteria for eternal life, final judgment, is Matthew chapter 25, 40, 45, all those, then that is, then power, evangelization, E. When my life is like this, that itself is evangelization. I need not go and give big talks. My life speaks. So that is evangelization. And word of God. See, when I read and reflect and I am led by the Spirit of God, that word of God inspires me, transforms me. Oh, obedience. Obedience to authorities, obedience to God. And P, prayer. Those Pharisees and Herodians came to God, actually came to Jesus in prayer, actually. Lord, teacher, tell us. But of course, with vested interest. Otherwise, they prayed. They asked him. So this power, the theme of prayer group for 2021 is fully covered in this passage. And I believe that it is the providence of God. They gave me this. And in turn, with the due reflection, God revealed this to me. So ultimately, I want to conclude once again with Romans 13, chapter 13, verse 6 and 7. If taxes are due, give taxes. If revenue is due, give revenue. If respect is due, give respect. And if honor is due, give honor. So that we truly prepare ourselves for that eternal kingdom where we'll face Jesus one-to-one and we'll be able to experience that kingdom of God, which should be a reality in our day-to-day lives here on earth. Thank you and God bless you.